Our scripture reading today comes from Psalm 87. If you have a Bible, I invite you to follow along as I read, or you can follow along on the screens. This is God's word. On the holy mountain stands the city he founded. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwelling places of Jacob. Glorious things of you are spoken, O city of God, Selah. Among those who know me, I mention Rahab and Babylon. Behold, Philistia and Tyre and with Cush. This one was born there, they say. And of Zion it shall be said, this one and that one were born in her. For the Most High himself will establish her. The Lord records as he registers the peoples. This one was born there, Selah. Singers and dancers alike say, all my springs are in you. This ends the reading of God's word. At this time, children up through kindergarten are dismissed to the Little Landing classes.
McKenna this morning. Brian and Cammy McKenna are visiting with us. We're blessed to have their co-laboring engagement in the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ around the world. Brian and Cammy have been involved in global ministry for 16 years, and we are supporters of them. If you'd like to know more about what they're doing specifically, in our missions wall to my right, your left, there are newsletters and information available to you there. I got to know Brian when Kathy and I were students at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, and we worshiped together with them at Clifton Baptist Church. And since then, I have rejoiced at seeing how the Lord has blessed and used Brian as an author, as a global ministry leader, and also as an elder of a church plant in Northwest Ohio. Brian has spoken from our pulpit once before. We're honored and blessed to have him back again. Would you pray that the Lord speak to you powerfully through Psalm 87 as Brian unfolds it for us? Brian, would you come?
Thank you, Brent. And thank you, Landing Church, for your gracious and generous support of our family and our ministry over multiple years now. It's always a joy to be back here, and I rejoice in 60-degree weather, as opposed to other places where I could be today. Would you just pray with me once more before we begin? Father, we ask that as we now turn our attention to your word, that we would, by your Spirit, have the power and the strength to set our minds on things above. It is so easy for us to set our minds on earthly things. We pray that we would have our hearts stirred by heavenly truths today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know many of you, and I suppose if we had the opportunity to chat after the service, one of the first things that you might ask me is, where are you from? Or maybe when you're meeting someone, that's one of the first questions you ask them. Where are you from? And that's a question I want to consider with you this morning. And I want to ask it of you. Where are you from? It's a pretty simple question, but not always easy to answer. For military brats or missionary kids, it's a notoriously difficult question to answer. When our family lived overseas, if someone asked our kids where they were from, they didn't immediately know how to answer. The question can also be incredibly difficult if you're an immigrant or a refugee. Do you tell people that you are from Somalia or from Laos or from Venezuela, the place where you were born? Or do you tell people that you're from where you are living right now, in Duluth or somewhere else? And depending on who asks the question, where are you from, There might be something more to the question even than just the physical location of your birth or your current living situation, or even your nationality or your ethnicity. It's not just a question of location, it's a question of belonging. They're trying to fit you in to where you belong. Today, we're going to try to answer and ask both of those questions. Where are you from, and where do you belong? And I think Psalm 87 gives a profound answer to that question for all of us today who are in Christ. This is an ancient Hebrew song about a city, the city of Zion, and its citizens, about the identity, rights, and privileges of those born in Zion. But as we'll see, there are some unlikely people included among those who belong to the city of God. There are some unlikely people who say, I was born there. This psalm divides neatly into three parts. If you have it in front of you, you can see even the word Selah. Maybe you noticed as we were reading it, that brackets off the different sections of this psalm. Verses 1 through 3, the psalmist praises God for loving and founding Zion. Pause. Verses 4 through 6, then, God registers the nations as citizens of Zion by birth. And then we get another pause. And then verse 7, singers and dancers rejoice in God's presence. That's the basic structure of this psalm, and it will form the three basic sections of my sermon this morning. But if I were to put those three parts together and summarize this sermon in one sentence, this psalm in one sentence, it would be this. In His love, God establishes Zion with citizens from every nation who experience His presence with joy. This is what I want you to see today in this psalm. In His love, God establishes Zion with citizens from every nation who experience His presence with joy. Now let's begin by looking at that first section, the first three verses. And here, in the opening lines of this song, the psalmist praises God for loving and founding Zion. The psalmist, the author of this psalm, whether it was a person or a group of people, they are exulting in Zion. This is the city that God founded. It's Jerusalem. Zion is just another word for Jerusalem, the city God loved. Zion was home of Israel's kings, but most importantly, Zion was home to the King. It was the place of God's special presence among His people in His holy temple. For Israelites, Jerusalem was the center of all life and worship. While Zion wasn't founded on the highest of all mountains, it was the pinnacle of the Jewish nation, the most important place. And there's no way we can even comprehend how significant this one place was. It's like the financial power of New York, the political power of Washington, D.C., the cultural power of Los Angeles, and you put it all together, it's one city that has everything. But what makes it spectacular isn't any of those things, really. It's ultimately, this is the city where God dwells. It's the place of His holy habitation, which led all the people of Israel to long to be in that place. You could live in any number of places around the nation of Israel, but this one place was to be where your heart would always be. For example, if you even have your Bible open or can find Psalm 84, just a few psalms before the one we are in today, Psalm 84, I think gives us an example of this longing and this sense of love that the people had for Jerusalem. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. And then down to verse 10, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. To the ancient people of ancient Israel, Zion was greater than any other city. None compared to it in glory. But what was so glorious about that place? It's not the walls, it's not the buildings, it's not the anything particularly about the city other than this one thing, that this is where God dwells. Thus, to be from Jerusalem or to be in Jerusalem was considered the highest privilege anyone could enjoy. You'd rather be a lowly sparrow in God's house than a majestic eagle in any other nest. This is where you want to be with God. And this is where you want to be from if you're an Israelite. I was born in Akron, Ohio. I'll let you guess the year. That's not important. I'm just a kid from Akron. Maybe you've heard that phrase made famous by someone slightly more famous than me, LeBron James. As he likes to say, I'm just a kid from Akron. And by saying that, he's simultaneously being humble in a way, because Akron is a town of no real significance. It's a depressed town in many ways. And yet, I assume, like many of us, we can speak of our hometown with a sense of pride. We love where we are from. And I think there's something beautiful about loving where you're from, whether that's Minneapolis or Mankato or Moose Lake. I don't know where you're from, but you tend to love the place where you are from. I assume many of you were born and raised here in Duluth. But have you noticed that so often we don't just celebrate where we're from, we despise those who are from somewhere else. Maybe some of you are very glad you are not from Minneapolis, or that you're not a cheesehead. I don't know. We so often not just celebrate where we're from, we often differentiate ourselves from others and despise them for being different from us. I've seen this everywhere I've lived. In Ohio, we look down on West Virginia. In Turkey, Turks look down on Kurds. In Hungary, they demean gypsies. And the feelings are mutual. In Jesus' day, it was the same. Jews looked down on Samaritans. But it's not as if the Samaritans didn't have their own pride. Do you remember the words of the woman from Samaria to Jesus? Our fathers worshiped God on this mountain, that is, Samaria. But you Jews say we have to come to Jerusalem to worship. This is just a small snapshot, this conversation, a small snapshot into a long-standing debate about which mountain is most significant, which mountain is the place where they would worship the true God, and which temple was the place of proper worship. Suffice it to say, where we're from matters a lot to us as human beings. We can derive our significance from that place. We can derive our status from that place. And if you were from the ancient city of Jerusalem, it would have mattered a lot to you. After all, you were from the glorious city of God, the place of His special presence in His holy temple. But there's a danger in that. You can begin to believe that this is something you deserve, or you earn this special status. And it would be very easy to believe that you were then superior to people from other nations, those of other races or ethnicities. But this is where Psalm 87 takes a really surprising turn. The first three verses of this psalm could have been written by the proudest flag-waving as Jerusalemite, the most nationalistic person in Israel. The psalmist, as we've seen, the first three verses is simply celebrating the glories of this special city that God loves. God loved Zion. He founded Zion. But then we read verse 4, and the psalm shifts. It shifts in a couple of ways. Among those who know me, I mention. Well, who's saying that? The one speaking in the psalm has just changed. And it's none other than God Himself. We get His divine perspective on the nations. Among those whom God mentions, next, I think should take our breath away, because it would have taken the breath away of any ancient Israelite. Among those God mentions are people from all nations. That brings us to verses 4 through 6 and our second point. God registers the nations as citizens of Zion by birth. This is shocking. The glorious things spoken of this city, if you see verse 3, are not what we imagine. They're not the typical things that you'd expect to hear from a native of Jerusalem, the kind of joyous celebration we read in Psalm 84. Instead of God's people celebrating His city, here God Himself celebrates its citizens. Let that shock you. Instead of the people merely celebrating the glory of this city, here God celebrates the glory of its citizens. This one and that one was born there. And who does God list as those who are native-born citizens of Zion? He mentions people who know me. The people who know Him in this psalm, more specifically, are not from Jerusalem. They're not natives of Zion. Instead, they're from places like Cush, Tyre, Philistia, Babylon, and Rahab, which Rahab is just a poetic way of referring to Egypt throughout Israelite poetry. So don't think of the woman, if you know the book of Joshua, it's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about Egypt. These are nations to the north, to the east, to the south, to the west. And more specifically, these are nations that historically have been the enemy nations surrounding Israel. They were the people Jerusalem feared. In fact, if you glance back at Psalm 79:1, you'll get a sense of how the Israelites felt about these enemy peoples. Oh God, so Psalm 79:1, oh God, the nations have come into your inheritance. They have defiled your holy temple. They have laid Jerusalem in ruins. Psalm 79 is a psalm reflecting on the Babylonian invasion of Jerusalem, where they sacked and spoiled God's city and His temple. Yet here, in Psalm 87, God says there are some from Babylon and from other wicked nations who know and acknowledge Him. And even more shocking, He acknowledges them. Yes, they were born as strangers to God and His people. Their birthplace might be Babylon, but they belong to the Lord. And if that's not striking enough, look down at verse 5. Of Zion it shall be said, this one and that one were born in her. In other words, these strangers and foreigners, these enemies of God and His people from some of the most suspect places on earth, are counted as if they are native Zionites. They're given full citizenship in the city of God, full access to God's presence. In fact, verse 6 says, the Lord Himself will register and record them as such. He will issue them. The Lord of the universe will issue them, as it were, brand new birth certificates. Ramazan and Shamsia are an Afghan couple that I work with. I have the privilege of helping and supporting them. When the U.S. pulled out of Afghanistan in 2021, Ramazan was pastoring in the country, and they had to flee for their lives. After a crazy series of events, they ended up in the U.S. Now they're based in Kentucky, but they are planning, Lord willing, to return to the region, back to Central Asia, where they will serve if the Lord allows. But first, they need all the proper documentation. They need green cards. They need official documents giving them permission to travel, which we've been waiting for, praying for many months. But get this. According to verse 6, the Lord himself, the king, registers these foreigners as those born in Jerusalem. This is the greatest documentation any foreigner could ever wish for. Better than a driver's license, better than a green card. On the official records of the kingdom, signed by the king himself, it reads, "This one is born here. Place of birth, Zion." Now, if you are a native Jerusalemite, and the first time you read Psalm 87, what might you be tempted to think or feel? That's not fair. That's not fair. They weren't born here. How can God give these people, these nations, that kind of privilege, the privilege of citizenship in Zion, when they weren't even born here? Not to mention the fact that these are people from foreign nations that oppress and oppose us. Does God not care about his promise to us? Clearly, the psalmist, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has a different perspective. He recognizes something about God and his love for all nations. God doesn't just love ethnic Israelites and those born in Jerusalem. He loves those from Egypt and Babylon and Cush. He loves those this very day from Israel and Iran. He loves those from Ukraine and Russia, from East Africa, South Asia, and dare I say it, North America. Why should God love us? Is there something that we have ever done to deserve this love? For all of us who are today in Christ, who know the Lord by faith in him, those of us who've been born from above, it's all because of God's amazing love. But none of us are here because we deserve it. Yes, God loves and establishes Zion as his holy city. But, and this is the shock of Psalm 87, he then fills that city with the foreign born as he registers those from every nation on earth as citizens of Zion by birth. This is the glory of the gospel, that God takes those who have no right to be in his presence, and he says, "You belong here." By now, it's probably clear this psalm is talking about far more than an ancient city with walls and gates and roads and buildings. It's talking about a people. In this psalm, we get a glimpse of what becomes even clearer later in the scriptures. The earthly city of Jerusalem and its physical temple were always and only just a shadow of a more permanent and heavenly city. The new Jerusalem, of a more permanent and glorious temple where God would dwell with his people forever and ever. And that people would be made up of people from every tribe and tongue and nation. How is it that you and I can be counted as citizens of the heavenly city? Only if our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If and only if God has registered us as citizens of Zion. Even though we were once strangers and foreigners to God's promise, the message of the gospel is that we can be given full rights and privileges in Christ's kingdom. And in the New Testament, we see this happens one way, one and only one way, as we are united to Christ by faith. As we turn from our sin, renounce the wicked of our hearts, and we come to Christ claiming his blood. Only through him can we have the hope of ever being in God's presence forever. as we renounce all other allegiance and come to Christ alone. We are made citizens in His kingdom, and we are given access to His glorious presence. If you're here today and you're a believer, of course we know this is not because of anything we have done. But don't we need reminded of it all the time? Certainly not because of where we're born. None of us, because of where we're born, deserve anything. It's not because of the family we're from. It's not because of the color of our skin or the color of our passport. It's only because we've been born into a new identity, a new family, a new kingdom. John 1, 12 through 13 says, "All who receive Jesus, who believe in His name, they are given the right to become sons of God." Not because of any human decision, not because of natural descent. It's because we are born of God. But for all those who are not born again, who are not born from above, whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the Bible also gives this truth that we must reckon with. We will be thrown into the lake of fire. Any one of us who rejects the gospel, who spurns God's grace, the fate is eternal separation from God. Which may not sound that bad to you if you're not a believer today. What's a big deal? Eternally separated from God? I don't need Him now. Why would I need Him then? But this psalm is meant to tell you and to show you that being in God's presence forever is the greatest joy anyone could ever imagine. And so by rejecting God's salvation in His Son, you are rejecting your greatest possibility for joy. According to the Bible, where you're from determines where you belong. If you are born from above by faith in Jesus, then you belong in the heavenly city of God. And that's one day where you will be. As Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. To be a Christian is to find your belonging, your sense of home, not in this world, not even in this nation, certainly not in Duluth, no offense. It is to find your belonging in another city and a greater kingdom. Not in any earthly nation or ruler, but in the King of all kings. So, my question for you today is, where are you from? And it's also, where do you belong? So many of us are tempted to find our belonging in our family, in our ancestors, maybe in our kids. We're tempted to find our belonging in our house, in our possessions, tempted to find our belonging in our academics, in our work, in our accomplishments. We're tempted to find our belonging in our community group or club. We're tempted to find it in our sport or our recreation. We're tempted to find belonging in a certain race, religion, or creed, a political party, or a social position. And there is only one place to find your identity and your belonging. It is in God alone and in His coming kingdom. All of those other things will disappoint you. They are all false identities and a sad place to put your hope in. According to the gospel, identity and belonging aren't something you create for yourself or find in yourself. Identity and belonging must be received from God Himself as a gift. And brothers and sisters in Christ, you and I are first and foremost children of God. That's who we are. We are children of the heavenly city. We are citizens of Zion. We need to remind ourselves of this over and over again. This is not my home. This world is not my home. And friends here who may not be believers in Jesus yet, please don't misunderstand me. Your desire for belonging The longing that all of us have for home is not a bad thing. But it's a desire that only can be satisfied by God alone. If you find yourself, C.S. Lewis once said, if you find yourself, and this is going to be a terrible quote, it's not a real quote, I'm just summarizing what he said. If you find yourself constantly looking for a place or belonging or a home that you do not find in this one, it must mean that you are made for another world. It must mean you are made for another home. If you have never been born again, or you don't even know what that means, how in the world does someone be born? That's a good question. Jesus answered it. We'd love to talk to you after the service. I'm sure your pastors would love to talk with you as well. But you must be born again. You must be from Zion to forever enjoy the pleasures of Zion. My wife, Cammy, was born in Germany. Her father was in the military, stationed at Nuremberg, and she was born on a military base there. But before she was 1 year old, her parents returned to the U.S. So she doesn't have a lot of memories, really none, from Germany. Certainly doesn't know what it is to be German or to speak German. A couple of years ago, we were transiting through Frankfurt, Germany, when Cammy, we came up to the gate agent. Cammy showed her passport, which lists Germany. Her passport says Germany is her place of birth. The gate agent's eyes just lit up. He was so excited. He just smiled and started speaking German. And for a moment, we just stood there in silence. Stupid silence. You know. We couldn't answer, and he was so disappointed. I felt bad for the guy. See, Cammy was born in Germany. She has a birth certificate issued from Germany, but she is not German. Germany is not where she belongs. If you're a Christian, the same could be said of you. You're born in this world, but you are not of it. You are a citizen of the heavenly kingdom, and you are waiting for the coming of your king. I don't know today where you are born. Maybe we could talk about it over lunch. I don't know where you are from, but if you know the Lord, if you have been born from above, then you belong to the city of God. And you can look around at everyone in this room who is a believer in Jesus Christ and know the same about them. You know exactly where they're from, and you know exactly where they are going. Look back at our Psalm 87 and verse 3. This is one of the most amazing things as I read and reflect on Psalm 87. Verse 3, glorious things of you are spoken, O city of God. My question for you is, what are the glorious things spoken of Zion in this psalm? They're the words of God Himself. As He records the peoples, this one was born there. This one was born there. And then, not just the Lord Himself as He records and registers the peoples, but then, if you see end of verse 4 and verse 5, it's not just the Lord speaking, it's the citizens of Zion speaking. This one was born there. This one and that one were born in her. The glorious things spoken of Zion in this chapter are the glorious things spoken of you, brother and sister. Can you receive that glorious word today? If you are in Christ, God is pronouncing over you, you belong in Zion. You belong with me forever. And we get to join God's word, His pronouncement, and say the same thing to one another. We belong in Zion. We were born there. That leads to the final climax, verse 7. Singers and dancers, rejoice in God's presence. When you understand that God gives you an identity and a home, when you realize He gives you meaning and belonging, and when you realize He gives you a purpose and a future with Him forever, you can respond the way the singers and dancers do in verse 7. All my springs are in you. Now, I realize that may not sound like the most joyful thing to ever say. Most of you probably did not wake up this morning, jump out of bed and said, all my springs are in you. Okay, what does this mean? And why is it joyful? Well, let me give you some context. We know from the rest of Scripture that this spring of water, an ever-flowing river, is a picture of God's very presence with His people. So, just to give you one example, Psalm 46, 4 through 5, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. You see, this river is a picture of God's bubbling, effervescent, life-giving presence among His people. And so to sing and dance and say, all my springs are in you, is to rejoice in God's presence among His people. This is not just a city with impressive architecture, amazing restaurants, or a thriving business district. This is a city where God dwells, which makes it better than any other place you could ever imagine. Throughout the Old Testament, we find this picture of God's presence consistently being like a refreshing, life-giving river. In fact, if you can remember, if you think back to the conversation I referenced earlier, Jesus with the woman from Samaria, He spoke about that life-giving river when He told her that now, through His coming, we no longer need to travel to Jerusalem to worship God. You can do it right there in Samaria. We don't have to make a pilgrimage to a holy site to experience God's presence. When we have faith in Jesus, we can worship Him in spirit and in truth, and we can worship Him in Duluth. We can worship Him right here with joy because the Spirit of the living God is overflowing in us. We have His presence with us, springing up to new life and overflowing to others, filling us with joy. The question is, do you have that joy today? Are all your springs, your satisfactions, all your longings, all your desires, are they fulfilled in God? Or are you trying to dig up dry wells? Are you trying to fill up leaky buckets? Are you trying to go after the things that never satisfy? Only in God can we find full joy and delight. And the good news of the gospel is that one day we will have that joy in fullness as we are with God forever. In His love, God establishes Zion with citizens from every nation to experience His presence with joy. So how do we respond to this message? I want to leave you with just four, what I hope will be brief reflections on how this should affect us now. First, if you do not know the Lord today, I just want to say again to you, you must be born again. You must be born from above. If you only have one birth certificate, born somewhere on this earth, your destination is determined. You need a heavenly birth certificate to be able to be in heaven forever. Because where you're from determines where you belong. If your name is not registered in the Lamb's Book of Life as one born from above, registered in Zion, you must be born again. So I plead with you, look to Christ. Turn from your sin and trust in Him to find life and joy forever. Second, if you already know the Lord, the conclusion of this psalm is really the first and most appropriate response to it. This psalm is written to believers. And how should we respond? We should delight in God's presence. And I'll just admit, brothers and sisters, I am far from perfect at this. I had to pray this morning to feel that delight, to come to you and speak of this joy. And we need it every day. But we should delight in God's presence. We should join the singers and dancers, rejoicing in and being refreshed by the Lord who establishes and loves Zion. The Lord loves Zion. He founded it, He built it, and He built it out of people that He loves. That should give us joy. Third, we should celebrate our fellow citizens. We should welcome new citizens into the kingdom, even and especially the people we are not inclined to like or to be like. This is hard. It's so easy for the church to become a club of people that we like or that we look like. And yet, what this psalm is suggesting to us is that God's kingdom is bigger than any nation on earth. It's bigger than any city or any citizenship on earth. It is a universal kingdom with people from every tribe and tongue and nation. And so we should, locally, you should desire more and more people to come to know Christ in this city. And you should desire, as I know you do, more and more people from every nation on earth to come to know Christ through faith. That more and more people would be citizens of Zion and enter God's presence with joy. If you're like me, you have a tendency, maybe you're not like me, that's okay. If you're like me, I have a tendency to read the Bible as if the nations, when I read that, the nations, I think of people out there, like not like me. And we are in here. We're the people the Bible's talking to, and the nations are those people. And there's a sense in which that is true. But the reality is, from the Bible's perspective, we are the nations. We are the people in this psalm, like Egypt and Babylon and Cush and Tyre, who deserve God's judgment because we are enemies of God and His people. But God has graciously, freely saved us and brought us into His kingdom. And so we should celebrate our salvation, and then we should desire that same salvation for more and more people. Psalm 87, this is the surprise of this psalm. It shows that the nations have come into God's inheritance, but they didn't come to spoil it. They came to add to its splendor. When Israel adds adopted brothers and sisters, it doesn't diminish their inheritance. It makes it fuller and more glorious. And so you and I should desire a fuller and more glorious inheritance, with more and more people coming to know Christ through faith. Fourth, finally, we should look forward to our future home. We should, like Abraham, look forward to the city whose foundations, whose builder and designer is God. Hebrews 11:10. We should eagerly wait for the coming of our Savior and the heavenly Zion, the New Jerusalem. In closing, let me just leave you with that glorious vision. And I'm going to just ask you, as I'm reading, to let your heart long for our future home. I'm going to read selected verses from Revelation 21. Maybe you'd even want to close your eyes. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God." Then came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues and spoke to me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and honor of the nations. But nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let's pray. O Lord, what mercy that people like us could have the King of the universe record our names and make us to belong in your presence forever. Thank you for your love. Thank you for building and founding a heavenly city. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to seek its growth.